Hello and welcome to the Beyond the Now IoT Security Podcast. This is a podcast where we dial into the challenges that consumers and businesses face to secure the Internet of Things. In this series, we'll be looking in depth at the IoT security challenges of different end markets and how new innovations in technology are offering huge opportunity, but also complicating the security journey. My name is David Maidman, and I'm Senior Director of the Secure Devices Ecosystem at Arm and a co-founder of PSA Certify. In this podcast, we'll be joined by experts from across the security sector, all with a shared vision of democratizing security and building a connected society. In this episode, I'm really excited to be joined by Tony Shakib, General Manager, Microsoft Azure IoT. Tony, hi, welcome.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me on this show.
Oh, it's excellent. It's really great to have you join. I'm looking forward to a good conversation with you. I think we have a lot of interesting things to talk about. I wonder if, just to kick things off, if you could introduce yourself and give a little bit of an overview of your role at Microsoft.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony Shakib, General Manager, Azure IoT. I'm actually part of the engineering team. And David, my job is actually one of the most interesting jobs, I think, at Microsoft, where even though I'm part of the engineering, because we're innovating at such a rapid pace, sometimes it's hard for our customers and partners to keep up with it. So honestly, our job is to help them take advantage of our latest innovations and help them build solutions. And, we work with the leading customers and partners. My job is to really set the example on how to go through this digital transformation, how to build solutions the proper way. And then once we've done it, we hope to use that as an example with the rest of our sales team and partner community. So, the rest of the, community can follow and take advantage of our technology. So it's almost always like on a treadmill on the leading side of taking advantage of our technology and innovations and building the most creative solutions.
That's amazing. That's a great introduction as well, saying that you have one of the most interesting jobs as your IoT. So you're kind of right at the leading edge, I guess, of the companies that are using the technology to sort of set the scene and guide a little bit in the conversation that we have. Could you explain the types of organizations that you're working with and give, maybe if you're able to, give a few examples of the kind of areas that they're in? I mean, it sounds like it's very fast-paced and changing quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. Well, we've been working on, our IoT platform for a long time. It's about 6 years into the journey. We've invested a lot of money into it to really develop a very rich set of portfolio of capabilities. And it really fundamentally is a horizontal platform that you can take advantage of it in any industry to build any kind of solution. But having said that, there are 5 or 6 industries that we also lean in and try to go deeper into it, as I said, to work with the customers and drive the innovation. Industries that we've spent the most amount of time, and we're having really good success as witnessed by, the analysts like Gartner, where they put us on their magic quadrant on the leading side. The main industries is manufacturing, both discrete and process manufacturing. The other industries are retail. The other one is healthcare. And then the one of the most interesting ones is like the connected spaces and where sustainability and many other things comes into it. And, then you can kind of like take that and go deeper into agriculture and, transportation and many other areas as well. But mostly the large enterprises and heavy industries is where we're focusing on transforming their business and helping them take advantage of technology to do things a lot more efficiently.
This links to, in your introduction, you used the phrase digital transformation. And it's certainly a topic that we've discussed, a few times actually on this podcast and in the broader context with PSA Certified. So you're working with organizations that are looking to adopt digital technology in their business practices in order to, like you say, I guess, to drive that level of efficiency. And so your engagement point with them is to help them understand how to use that technology. I mean, are these, I'm probably asking you too many questions all at once, but are these technically savvy companies that understand, I guess, sort of the how IoT connects with digital transformation? I guess that's the sort of intersect is what I'm curious about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, we are working with, like, honestly, some of the most, you know, amazing companies around the globe. But having said that, you know, this whole digital transformation is still fairly new, and there are not that many companies that are deep into it. So let me try to help define what do we mean by digital transformation. We look at digital transformation typically in three phases. Phase one, it starts with connecting things, you know, whatever things they are in your environment. For example, if you're operating at a large factory, and some of these factories are the size of Manhattan, you know, I'm not talking about small operations, so very large operations where they literally have millions of things, you know, in it. The way they're producing things, they have a lot of people that are operating it, and they have a lot of, you know, actual actuators, sensors, boilers, machines, you know, things like that. So the first thing is to kind of look by connecting all of these things and visualizing how are things being run. And it would really surprise you that that visibility is not there today. A lot of people are operating these factories, I don't want to say blindly, but just based on some past experience. And when things happen, they don't really have instant, you know, a visibility and ability to understand what's going on and how to react to it. So number one is just connecting things, right? That visibility gives you an enormous amount of power to manage your, you know, your operations. The second thing, second phase of this is what we call connected environments, which is then start, and this is where the concept of digital twins comes in. And that's where you kind of like look at the context in which these different things are operating in. And what are the consequences of, you know, the weather information together with your inventory, together with the supply, together with all the other things that are happening. So when you put it in the context, then you get a much richer set of data in which you can react and run your operations. But the context brings relationships, and those relationships that are constantly changing is hard to keep track of. And that's where we have digital twins that we can talk about later that will help you manage that. And then the third phase of it is what we call connected ecosystems, that not only have full visibility of your environment and your things, but you can also connect it upstream and downstream to your suppliers and to your customers, where all these things can manage themselves in real time, you know, automatically. So when you get to that phase, then you have a significant advantage, you know, over your competitors, the way you run your business. So those are the three phases of digital transformation that we typically go through with our customers.
Okay. The net result of that in terms of the value that that brings back into the business of your customers. So it's essentially operational efficiency, I guess. You know, in the example you gave at the factory level, it's driving efficiency in the way that the factory operates and the insights, I guess, you have in order to make decisions. And then if you take it all the way to your third example, where those insights can then be shared with the supply chain, am I thinking about it in the right way?
Absolutely. You know, the net result of digital transformation is always twofold. One fold is, yes, as you said, operational efficiency. How do I run things much more efficiently to save cost and to be, you know, a leaner operation and a more proactive operation, right? So one is all efficiency, cost saving. But the more important part of it is also like, what are the new outcomes and business innovations that I can create? How do I do more with my existing assets that I have? And how do I create, you know, net new revenue streams or capabilities? And that's where with digital transformation, you start getting into simulating different outcomes, right? We have a lot of companies, for example, that honestly, like due to COVID, their business is growing about 700%. Not only they don't want to disrupt the existing business, they have to find a way to, you know, 7x the business. So they have to grow the number of lines, the number of robots, the number of things, but they don't want to just kind of like do the next thing and run into the next bottleneck. And they have to like predict all the way through, what do I got to do to get to 700% throughput, right? All the things that needs to happen and do it ahead of time without disrupting the current business. So that's kind of like what this would allow you to do.
Okay. When we're talking about the need for security that's underpinning that transformation, it brings it actually into sharp focus when you're talking about, you know, such huge benefits to the underlying business, you know, enabling effectively new business models to be driven at new levels of efficiency, then it, you know, it's really a critical infrastructure, you know, relying on that digital transformation of your business. It becomes a sort of a, I guess, almost a first principle to make sure that it's anchored in security. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I guess, you know, we've kind of touched on how IoT is fueling that digital transformation. And you mentioned an interesting phrase, digital twins, which we've not really spoken about before on the podcast. I'd be interested to unbox that a little bit and understand from your point of view to help, you know, the listeners understand what you mean by digital twin in this context and how that links perhaps to sort of IoT and digital transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, digital twins, you know, sounds complex, but it's actually very simple. What it means is that, you know, at the end of the day, you have a business that you are running. It could be a factory, it could be a hospital, it could be an EV charging station. So there is something physical that you have and you're operating it today. So what digital twins is, we effectively create a digital replica of that environment that you're running things. And then we start tinkering with that digital replica. We start doing simulations to see what can I do to run it better. And instead of taking that factory and trying 100 things by trial and error, you know, of which one or two out of the 100 ways might be the best way to do it, you know, then you simulate it, find what is the best way to do it, and then you apply that to the physical environment. And then it's not only doing it once to find the best outcome, but to also run it in real time. Because in any process manufacturing environment, things are going wrong or right or different all the time. And just to be able to have that visibility to react in real time as different things happen to get the optimum outcome is what digital twins would allow you to do. That virtual way, experiment, figure out the best way, and then applying it to the way you're running the physical operations. That essentially is what digital twins would allow you to do. And, you know, we have created ontologies, which is that relational knowledge base of all these twins in different environments. That could be a digital twin of a mall, could be a digital twin of an airport, could be a digital twin of a smart building in New York City, could be a digital twin of a campus, a factory, a hospital, right? And just doing those simulations to find the best outcome and then running it as such is what digital twins would allow you to do.
Sure. Okay. And there's a relationship, I guess, between the digital twin and the physical world. So you're able to feed the digital twin with real-world data in order to continuously improve that model, I presume?
Yeah, and that's exactly where IoT comes in. You know, the role of IoT is to then having connection to those physical sensors, bringing those real-time information where we can effectively go from a reactive world, which is what the old CRM model was all about. You know, you wanted to know what's the status of something, you send a message, you go query it, and you see whether it's healthy or not. So we're going completely changing that paradigm to a proactive world where that those you know, signals are constantly flowing northbound into your business applications and proactively alerting you when something is not going to be going the most optimum way. So then you can have AI algorithms or even with people that can then take those advantages. That's exactly where IoT comes in, and that transformation from a reactive CRM world to a proactive, you know, digital twin world.
Okay. I was kind of wondering, as you talk about the simulation and the interaction between, you know, effectively the physical world and the, you know, the digital twin, the simulation world, is there a link with, you know, as we're now increasingly describing as the metaverse? What's your view on the relationship between the metaverse and digital twin and IoT? How does that sort of fit together in your view?
Yeah, it's all at the heart of it. They all go together. Mm. You know, effectively, you know, metaverse, we kind of like break it down into three different parts. There is the consumer metaverse, there is the enterprise metaverse, and then there's the industrial metaverse. So the part that I'm mostly talking about here, you know, with IoT is the industrial metaverse, where we constantly are in touch, you know, with the real world. We have a digital replica of that that we can constantly simulate and explore different ways of running the business to get the efficiency and creating the new business outcomes and then building towards that, right? So that's kind of like our definition of it.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm curious about the way the market is behaving with these technologies, because what we're talking about here is, you know, we kind of throw this word around, don't we? Transformation, but it really is transformational. You know, the concept of having a complete sea of sensors, you know, having gathering data, you know, continuing to use the factory as an analogy, to be able to gather that level of insight operationally, to be able to model it digitally, to be able to, you know, generate new business models from it. How does that push-pull dynamic work in the market? I assume you spend a lot of time in a sort of an education mode as well, in order to close that loop between the sheer level of technology that we're talking about here and the business benefits that can be extracted from that.
Yeah, absolutely, we do. And David, I think I've been involved with IoT for, you know, about 10, 15 years, you know, at Cisco, now at Microsoft, many different companies, you know, thousands of different digital transformation projects. And honestly, like, I think we're at a turning point where we're kind of going from that educational phase that people were skeptical about the value of it to the mass adoption phase, where, and especially accelerated by COVID, where they realized that the digital transformation is no longer an option, is a matter of necessity. You know, like some of the examples, the best examples I can tell you is, how do I go run my operations remotely? Before, I had to have people all over it, but now with technology, you know, I don't have to be walking up and down the assembly line, and I can just have full visibility of my operations and only get involved when I need to or proactively. You know, another example is just the whole supply chain. Before, it was very much siloed and fragmented, and now you realize that if you don't have technology to interconnect my up and downstream supply chain and react to, you know, different market signals and inventory levels and supply, you know, it's going to be very difficult to be on top of things. Like, these are all perfect examples of, like, how do I manage my workforce where it's disrupted by different aspects and, you know, be able to schedule things much more efficiently, do load balancing. You know, these are all fantastic examples that are happening in mainstream. And before, there was this fear of, what would it do to my workforce? Now it's just a matter of, I have no other choice but to do it this way. Before, fear of security, that, hey, if I go to the cloud, I'm going to lose control. Now they realize that actually having things in the cloud is a lot more secure and manageable than things on the ground, right? So I think to a large extent, these transformations have been accelerated. People understand it. Now we're getting to the adoption phase.
That's a really good point. I think that the world has had to adapt, and it's accelerated a process that was already beginning to happen. it would be a shame not to get your views on IoT security in the context of, you know, these transformational steps that we're talking about here. I know and regularly read that, you know, security is a key part of sort of the Microsoft Azure IoT value proposition. And it'd be great to hear your views on the relationship between digital transformation and IoT security and actually whether there's anything in your mind that you think is, you know, maybe holding that back or you see as a barrier to this, you know, this vision that we're discussing here.
Yeah, I mean, security is very important, you know, to IoT and digital transformation by, you know, connecting things to the cloud or managing them at the edge. At Microsoft, we have this posture that we call zero trust IoT security. And basically, by the experience that we've had of working with the large enterprises over the last, you know, number of decades, you know, you realize that you are operating in hostile environments that you can't assume security is going to be there, right? You actually have to assume zero trust that anything can go wrong at any time and build a completely robust network that can operate in that environment. And to master that, you know, we came out a couple of years ago with what we defined as 7 properties of highly secure networks, of which it goes into a lot of detail, you know, all the way starting from, you know, identity to access control to accepting that things are going to change all the time. So you have to be monitoring and reacting and remediating in real time and just building a complete set of solutions, you know, with technologies like Azure Sphere that provide that level of security in the silicon to, you know, Defender for IoT that has all these practices that doesn't take anything for granted. It understands that, you know, in the IoT, there's a lot of brownfield devices that are going to be agentless. So you can't just go and put an agent on it and you have to build a network that can monitor the traffic and then, you know, manage it in a secure way from the cloud. So we built all these practices and that's how we've been able to provide that trust for our customers that Microsoft brings to the table and build networks that are robust, that can operate in these zero trust and hostile environments.
Okay. If you join together, you know, the effectively the insights that you're gaining from that data and the business value that you're delivering, then that trust is really underpinned, isn't it? You talk about zero trust, but actually presumably that model is that you have to trust everything on that network. So presumably if there's anything that breaks that model, then, you know, it has to be managed accordingly. What do you see as the challenges? This is a vast devices ecosystem we're talking about, with presumably devices that are on those networks for 10 years, 20 years, I don't know, you know, very long periods of time. What do you think is the big industry challenges for, you know, effectively in the devices space to support this model?
Yeah, as I said, you know, part of the challenge is there's just a lot of legacy out there. There's a lot of antiquated networks. There's a lot of environments that was built 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, 70 years ago. And, you know, we can't disrupt them. You know, they're running and they're critical infrastructure. So we have to overlay this on top of an existing running operation and then providing those added capabilities in a very secure way, again, without disrupting the operations. I think that's quite often the biggest challenge. Not so much technology, is the change management, is how do you then educate the people that are running it the old way to do it the new way? How do you deal with the massive amounts of data that's coming in? How do you make sense of the data? And, you know, those are typically the challenges. And then, you know, we have a lot of practices, you know, in a very methodical way on how to go through them step by step and get it done.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess sort of a collaboration model around the devices ecosystem, the OEMs that are building the devices that go onto your networks. I presume, for example, with your 7 principles that you spoke about, having that model where OEMs are, the latest generation of equipment is meeting those requirements making sure that supply chains are in place to deliver security best practice in these digital devices when they're shipped.
That's correct.
Yeah. I think it's been, you know, it's good to step back and look at it at that level. A lot of the discussions that we have on the podcast are looking in detail at how that low level security is implemented and realized. And I think what fascinates me in this discussion is joining the dots and looking at that journey of that data and the value and business transformation that it delivers is amazing.
Yes.
So that for me is, it really brings home why we have to solve those security problems at an enormous scale. We traditionally have a few final questions actually in the podcast that I sort of put you on the spot and take you through. I think we might have discussed this anyway, but given your role, I think this is, you can go on a longer horizon if you like, but we ask our guests what you think the IoT landscape will look like in 5 years' time. Feel free to look further ahead as well if you want. It'd be amazing. What do you think it looks like in 50 years' time? I don't know. Perhaps we won't go that far. Do you have anything extra that you'd like to, your vision of 5 years from now? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think the fascinating thing that we see happening is, as I said, it's this transition from a reactive world that we all live in to a proactive world, right? I mean, and that's where at Microsoft, we want to be leading, and we want to be anticipating these changes that the abundance of big data will bring forward. IoT is and will be one of the largest sources of big data. We believe about 70% of all the data generated is not going to just be the back end IT, but more of an OT data, the operational data coming from the real world. And we're building the systems to adapt and manage it. And, there's all these concepts. You can call it metaverse. You could call it digital twins. You could call it digital transformation. But at the end of the day, the interesting thing is the intersection of IoT with AI and big data. That sure. Collision between the three and, having the cloud infrastructure with unlimited compute and storage data to process the data that's coming in, make sense of it, and create real-time intelligent, outcomes is really the exciting part. We also realize that not everything's going to happen in the data, and we're building a system that is a hybrid between the cloud and the edge, because not everything will happen in the cloud, right? But we have a system that's elastic enough where all the intelligent training and scoring algorithms will happen in the cloud, and then it'll get distributed into a compute environment, whether it's 5G, whether it's edge computing or whatever, and to disseminate that information and run things the most efficient way. So just kind of like making sense of all the data in a distributed world, reacting to it, making it constantly more intelligent and delivering value to our customers is really the journey that we're going to see get accelerated more and more in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. It's talking about edge compute is one of my great sort of passions, and I'm going to resist the temptation to go off there. I guess what you're describing there is the concept of what we traditionally think of as the cloud as being sort of disseminated closer to where you're gathering the data. Is that a good way of thinking about it for the listeners and allowing you to have that kind of insight and compute nearer to the source of the data? Or
yeah, I think data will always have gravity, and a lot of it happen, closer to the edge. But the intelligence, of what do you do with that data and the algorithms that will make sense of the data will be centrally orchestrated from the cloud. But it will always be an orchestration between edge and cloud. It's this elastic framework that we're building. And, honestly, it also changes from application to application. Some of them, it would always, it needs to be air-gapped. It needs to has different requirements. The data throughput is so high that needs to be done on the edge, and that's fine with us. Some of them, not so much, and it's a lot cheaper to do it in a hybrid structure. We can do that as well. So we have a very flexible architecture that can handle both.
Mm. Yeah. It's fascinating. Two last quick questions to squeeze in. So your predictions, I guess, anything to watch for this year, for, you know, the predictions for IoT, IoT security this year, that maybe that horizon is a little bit short for kind of some of the subject we're talking about. And I guess to link to that, any advice for the listeners as well that you'd like to kind of leave them to think about?
Yeah, I think the IoT security, honestly, like this, really going deep into these different industries, understand the nuances that they each have. And then, you know, how to apply, you know, the seven properties of the highly secure architectures that we've developed, it's working, you know. So I encourage everybody to take advantage of that. And honestly, we didn't write that for Microsoft. We wrote it for the industry, that anybody can benefit from it, right? And then just also accepting this zero trust environment, that you can't take anything for granted. Security is an important factor, and it needs to be thought through as the core fabric of your architecture. The way you build a solution is also another thing that, you know, we work with our customers and encourage everyone to think about. So those are two very important items to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's great advice. Tony, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk. It's really fascinating, actually. I've loved stepping back and thinking about the very big picture. I think this is by far the biggest picture we've managed to talk about. So thank you. Thank you very much indeed. You've shared a great insight. It's been really good. I'd also like to thank the listeners, and I hope that they found this an interesting discussion. Thank you for joining us, and please do share your thoughts on LinkedIn and Twitter, and you can tag us at PSA Certified. And to stay up to date with our latest episodes, remember you can subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you might be listening. And if you'd like to learn more about PSA Certified Ecosystem, then you can visit psacertified.org. And thank you again. And again, thank you very much, Tony. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate it. And thank you very much. And please do join us again for the next episode of Beyond the Now. Thank you.